Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news relating to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here is your host of Lickin' on Lending, David Lickin.
Welcome, everybody, to the broadcast. This is David Lickin, and it is April 30th. Good to have you with us again this week. Appreciate you tuning in each and every week and telling others about the broadcast. I'm going to be playing a couple of interviews that I recorded while at the MBA Tech Conference last week. I've got two interviews this week that are going to be very interesting. Steve Wiley of the Lincoln Leadership Institute at Gettysburg, Virginia, is one of our guests. Also with us is Michael Frattantoni, who is the PhD economist with the MBA. He spoke at the conference, and I think you'll enjoy his commentary about the economy, some insights he has, also some really interesting new data that the MBA has available. So stay tuned to the Hot Topics segment. We've got both of these interviews I'll be sharing with you at that time. Good to have you with us again, and without further delay, let's find out what's going on in the markets. Joe Farr,
good morning,
good to have you with us.
Thank you very much. So far, it's pretty quiet this morning. MBS prices are up about 3/32nds, and stocks are down a little bit. Down last time I looked, the Dow was down 30. This morning there's been a mixed bag of economic announcements. The PMI, Chicago PMI, came out below expectations, and personal income was a little better than expected. Core PCE, which is one of the Fed's preferred inflation indicators, was at expectations at up 0.2, and for the year they're up 2%, which is the highest it's been in a while, but still very manageable.
That's interesting. Let's see here. Let's talk a little bit about last week. While I was at the tech conference, some interesting information, interesting things were going on in the markets while I was out.
Yeah, well, the two big events are fear about the uncertainties in Europe, and then the Fed statement was coming out. So for last week, let's talk about Europe first, I guess. We mentioned last week that there was over the weekend, Sarkozy's reelection, president in France, is going to be difficult. I didn't realize it makes a lot of sense. I wish we did this, but the second round election is this Sunday. So, just a quick 2 weeks later, they're having the runoff, if you will. So we'll find out Monday morning. I assume we'll know Monday morning if Sarkozy's been reelected or the more liberal guy, the one who is anti-austerity, is elected. France is just one situation where there's a lot of that going on. As we talked about last week, the Netherlands had some issues with passing a budget that included austerity. And so now all of a sudden everyone's talking about, well, maybe austerity is not the way to go. That you got to spend your way out, and you can't save too much at this point in time. I guess we'll see which is the better way. To me, it's just like, I hate using the phrase kicking the can down the road, but that's what it's doing.
If you don't do an austerity plan, it's going to be that. You're kicking it down the road.
Yeah, absolutely. You're just delaying pain now at the risk of creating more pain in the future. But there are several of the economies in the Eurozone that are struggling. Several are in recession, certainly are not growing, and in light of that, people are thinking that the better path and maybe the path with the least political fallout is to not implement quite the austerity measures they know they need to, but spend just a little bit more and hopefully create some jobs. So, Europe was big. The Fed was almost a non-event. especially given how much the reaction it caused last time when it met on March 13th. We had a huge reaction, and it's taken us all, pretty much all this time to recover from the drop in prices that we saw following that Fed meeting. But, they didn't have much of a change in their reaction to the market right now, the economy right now, is that their policy is fitting the current economic environment. So not an anticipation of a move one way or the other for the Fed, at least anytime soon. And then I guess the other big event for the week was GDP came out. It was a bit disappointing. It was 2.2%, 2.5% was expected, and that's down from 3% in the fourth quarter. But nice thing was pending home sales were up big, up 4.1%, and that was good because new home sales that had come out earlier in the week were down a bit. So.
That's the pending home sales number was a bit of a surprise, but then we get the Case-Shiller report, and it shows just mixed signals. As I want to say thank you to Joe and Professor Dan, as I refer to him as Dr. Dan, they were a resource. I went off to speak or be interviewed by Neil Cavuto on Thursday night. And you guys are a great resource on consumer confidence. Which of the lines going up and down is the most credible line? And I really appreciate that. But, the Case-Shiller report was countering the pending home sales. So, I mean, it's mixed. It's a mixed bag for sure. What do we see on tap for this week?
Well, the non-farm payrolls comes out on Friday. It's always the biggest event. The consensus right now is for 160,000 jobs, which would be better than last month, but sure, still far short of what we had been running in the 200-plus count. Unemployment rate's expected to stay the same. We'll get a little glimpse of what might come on Friday on Wednesday when the ADP report comes out, and then again on Thursday when the jobless claims comes out. But the jobs report will be big. Tomorrow, the ISM index is to be released, and then there's a European Central Bank meeting, much like our Fed meets, there's European ECB meets. They will be issuing their position on Thursday morning very early before our stock markets open, like at 7 or so Eastern time. I'm not sure exactly the time. So Thursday we could be impacted by whatever they choose to do or choose not to do. So, and then, as I mentioned, the second round of the election in France will take place on Sunday.
And I've seen you. And Sarkozy is behind in the polls, so that's going to be real interesting.
Yeah.
Any changes in Europe, and especially in a major country such as France, major economy such as France's economy, if there is a change in the political will there, it could have an impact on that. One quick question regarding the ADP report that comes out on jobless claims. How parallel has it been, in tandem has it been with Thursday's jobless claims? Haven't those been somewhat independent of each other, moving at times even contrary?
Dave, I think the last one was pretty good, but certainly one point doesn't make a trend, so you cannot completely rely on it. Those who want to see weakness, if that thing is weak, they'll glob on to it. If they want to see strength and it's weak, then it's going to be a bad report, so it's only an indication.
Well, appreciate you keeping us updated as we get to the end of the broadcast, bringing us an update if there's been any changes. We always appreciate that. A number of our listeners said, boy, I appreciate when you have Joe just as we're going to the door exit the broadcast to give a quick update. So give us one right here at the end of the broadcast. Joe, thanks so much to you and your entire team there at MBS Quoteline. Appreciate you being a part of the broadcast. Folks, we'll be right back after this brief break.
Looking for that competitive edge? MBS Quoteline delivers live market coverage for originators. Get up-to-the-minute mortgage market news and analysis as events occur.
Get MBS prices as trades happen.
Straight to your computer, email, cell phone, or PDA. Know in advance when your investors will reprice. Make better lock-float decisions and increase your income. Be the expert your clients expect. And know what's moving interest rates right now, tomorrow, and beyond. MBS Quoteline, delivering live market coverage for originators. Learn more about MBS Quoteline today at MBS.com. mbsquoteline.com.
mbsquoteline.com.
646-716-4972. The Lincoln on Lending Show is back. Here is your host, David Lincoln.
Good to have you with us. Alice Alvey is on vacation. Can you imagine that? Alice is taking a vacation. Well, she is out in California. We wish her the very best as she travels and enjoys some family time, much needed. That gal is on the go. We appreciate her and all of the staff there at Mortgage-U, for all the work that they do in keeping us informed of what's going on in the legislative update. I talked to Alice earlier this morning. She said there's not a lot to report. She checked on it. She says it's probably a good week to be gone. But she does want to communicate to all of our listeners that she said she really enjoys being here with you and keeping you updated. But also, she'll be back next week giving us an update of what's going on. I thought I'd take this moment to talk about politically. In fact, Alice and I talked briefly about what's going on in politics. You heard Joe talk a little bit earlier about what's going on in France with Sarkozy, what it means to our economy, what it means to a country's economy, the direction of interest rates, and specifically in the U.S., the direction of our industry. I was at the technology conference, had the opportunity to talk with Steve Wiley. We got on a broadcast, an interview that I recorded with Stephen while I was there. And I got to tell you, I'm really excited about this. But the lessons of leadership, lessons from Gettysburg, we're going to be hearing that broadcast a little bit later. But if you do not think your involvement matters, you think that you are just going to have to sit here and let what may, it's not accurate. We need to get engaged. And I encourage you to go back and listen to a broadcast we did, a couple weeks ago or so. We talked about how you got to get involved. And when you do get involved, when you start speaking out, anticipate a lot of feeling. There is so much pent-up frustration. There's so much pent-up emotion about what's going on. And when you start talking about that, you're going to get what I refer to as the yeah buts. Yeah, but what about this? Yeah, but what about that? And there's so much. I mean, it's what's really interesting and quite frankly, I'll reveal this. my preferences is that at the conference, Mike Frattantoni, who we're going to have on the broadcast a little bit later, said, Dave, the general consensus is Obama's going to get reelected. That's what the consensus is inside the Beltway. Well, I think that was the consensus when Carter was about to get reelected, everyone thought, and that we knew what happened in that election. So hopefully that's the case here. I without trying to make this program political, the reality is I'm concerned about this administration's activities and involvement in the industry, specifically Cordray's comments on the market. I commented on this in Neil Cavuto's interview of me last Thursday. I encourage you to go into foxbusiness.com, go to the video tab, click on videos in the search button. You put in my last name, L-Y-K-K-E-N. You'll listen to my commentary about it. Now, I get into talking about this. We've got to wade into politics, the purpose of me bringing all this up. We've got to weigh in, folks. Politicians are getting in our business. We need to get in their business. That's the phrase I'm using. It's a thing that I think is so true. So if we don't, Alice is going to just have more and more to report on because, folks, they're in your business. Why not get involved in theirs? So how do you do it? Go on there and listen to it. But one of the things is that there is a consensus that, that this administration is going to continue for another 4 years. I'm concerned about the fact that Richard Cordray, the director of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, CFPB, is not defining the word abusive. And that's a big issue. At least the last news report, they said they refused to define that. Well, if we're accused as an industry or being regulated because of quote-unquote abusive practices, and the very administration or the very regulatory body that is responsible for regulating us refuses to define what abusive is, what's the natural tendency? I said this on national television last Thursday night with Neil Cavuto. I said, the tendency is to pull back, and that's why some of the things are going on. This uncertainty is what's hurting our markets, and it is really a place of frustration. So I encourage you to go and listen to that broadcast. I love your feedback on that. You don't have to tell me about my double chin. You don't have to tell me about makeup. My folks, my wife and my daughter always tell me, it looks like you have made you way too much makeup on. Who did your makeup? So anyway, I'll leave that alone. Good to have you with us. We appreciate Alice normally coming on. You probably after this little monologue, you say, God, get Alice back soon. We need her back quickly. We appreciate Alice bringing a report each and every week. We appreciate her and her team. So I guess I'll stop my rant on politics, how we need to get involved. But just remember the statement, politicians are getting in your business. In your business, are you getting in theirs? It's time to get involved. Folks, we'll be right back after this brief break.
Looking for a full-service mortgage training and consulting company to fit exactly what you need? Mortgage U is your ultimate education and information resource used by lenders to execute high-impact, high-quality training throughout the organization. Mortgage U instructors are mortgage professionals providing classroom and web-based delivery and has the most sought-after training manuals in the country. Mortgage U has a proven track record performing customized training programs for hundreds and even thousands of employees both live and online on everything from application through loan delivery and insuring. Call Mortgage U today at 800-278-0200 or visit us online at mortgage-u.com. Welcome back to Lincoln on Lending. Our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here's David Lincoln.
Good to have you back with us. Appreciate you tuning in, and appreciate you letting me get on my soapbox a little bit on that. I do feel strongly about we need to be getting involved in politics. Something else that we need to be looking at that we have as a firm, a real passion to be doing, and that is helping people with the bottom line. I'm so happy that I get to be partnered with the Profit Doctor, better known as Andy Schell, or is he better known as the Profit Doctor? I don't know. For those of you listening to you, you know him as the Profit Doctor. Andy Schell, good to have you on the broadcast. Are you there?
Thanks, Dave. I am. I'm here. It's great to be on. And you did a great job. I enjoy listening to your rant. And there's a number of really good sound bites that came out of that we should type up.
Well, I think I can go on and on about that, but let's get on talking about profitability. Andy, one of the things that you're going to hear in the interviews that I'm going to play here in just a minute, and then we're going to get Tony Garitano at the end of the broadcast. For those of you who are listening, wanting to listen to Tony, we're going to put Tony at the end because I really want his perspective on what we heard there. But here's what I found that was really interesting. In fact, it was Michael Frantoni who's telling us about the amount of capital, the amount of investment that's going on with technology. A lot of people that have had older systems or have had systems, they're upgrading, they're making investments. So I did my little ROI survey, Profit Doctor, when I was walking around there, and Profit Doctor, they're not listening. They don't seem to be getting it. Now, they look at me when I ask them this question. Here's the question I posed. How much of an ROI calculation did you put into your decision to update your technology? And Andy, what do you think I heard?
None. Don't know. What do you mean?
Don't know. It wasn't really a part of it. We just knew we had to do it. There's things like this. What we're talking about on this broadcast is really good. We'll get into it later on probably with Tony here. But there's not a lot of there's not a clear, well, we made the decision because we realized we can get a 32% greater return on this because of that. What's your thoughts on this, Tony? I mean, Andy?
Well, Dave, if you look at a lot of the mortgage companies that are in the industry today, and if you were to survey all of them and say, do you have a budget? Do you have a cash flow forecast? And do you have a marketing strategy? These are very, very basic elements to running a successful business. And we know a lot of the clients we work with that are the $2, $3, $4, $8 billion companies, the answer is always yes, of course they have that. But the guys that are less than a billion, the ones that we've looked at don't necessarily have that stuff. So if they don't even have a budget, they don't have a cash flow forecast, they don't have the dynamics and the key revenue drivers that drive the bottom line of the business understood, then why would we expect them to do an ROI analysis on a computer purchase? They're just going to do what they think, what they've always done, which is if it feels good, do it. So I think it's a symptom that not having an ROI on a technology investment is just a symptom that they don't really have the foundation of their financial structure in place correctly.
Well, I think it's so true that it is something that has not been given the thought. And I think that's because independent mortgage bankers are independent. They are not regulated. They haven't been regulated. We now have the call reports, so more financial reporting is going to be required. And I think this trend, no matter who's in the White House, who's in controlling the House and the Senate, we're going to have more regulation. That is not going to go away. So the fact that and how they're going to be looking at us, regulating us and what we're reporting. So it comes back to the importance of thinking these things through. And for those that do not have a plan, they may be a little bit surprised in what might be the response. So let's I could go on and on. Andy, you and I talk about this all the time when we get together, how this industry needs to mature in their financial analysis. Closing thoughts on this segment, what you'd like to share with the people?
Well, I think that when a technology is presented, people tend to buy from the person that they like and a system that looks cool. And it doesn't necessarily mean that they're making the wrong decision, but they don't know that they're making the right decision from a financial perspective unless they go to the next step. And a lot of times they don't have a CFO, they may not even have a controller, they've got a bookkeeper that isn't capable of doing the analysis. So we've got models to help with this. Just we'll be happy to help. Just let us step in and help figure some of this out for you, because you can't afford to hire a CFO right now, so don't, you know, rent a CFO, which is one of the things that we do.
That's a great idea. He comes in with financial models attached to him. He's a walking modeling machine here. So anyway, Andy, so good to have you in the broadcast. I'm thinking of our next segment. We're going to be playing a recording with Steve Wiley when he talked, and he's talking, Andy, about lessons from Gettysburg. Do you know that we can still learn lessons from what happened at Gettysburg, the Battle of Gettysburg? Fascinating interview. Why did so many people die? You're a history buff. You probably can come in and talk to Stephen. Unfortunately, records, we're going to have Stephen live here to interview him at some point in time, because you know my passion for leadership and seeing that happen in the industry. So anyway, Andy, I think there's a lot of lessons that we could pick up from Gettysburg that have an ROI component or a lack of that resulted in some tragic consequences. So I appreciate you being here with us, folks. You're going to want to stay tuned for the interview we're going to have up after this word, because it is just really powerful. I can't wait to get to that. Folks, we'll be right back after this brief break.
Mortgage Banking Solutions is the preeminent management consulting firm to the residential mortgage lending industry. No other firm in the U.S. offers the menu of services or the level of expertise to the industry.
If you're looking for help converting from best efforts to hedging, or need help with bookkeeping to know your profit per loan,
if you are interested in making the transition from broker to banker, or if you just need a roadmap for success,
Mortgage Banking Solutions' primary focus is to enable executives to take their business to the next level and guide them down a path towards success and profitability. With over 300 combined years of experience in all facets of mortgage lending, the Mortgage Banking Solutions team of professionals has the expertise and know-how to help you accomplish your goals. New warehouse lines of credit,
broker to banker transitions, transitioning to hedging,
financial and accounting services,
or meeting your capitalization needs.
If you need help with these or any other aspects of your business, please contact a Mortgage Banking Solutions sales team to see how we can help you at 512-977-9900. That's 512-977-9900. Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level.
Hey, everybody. I just walked out of the morning session here at the MBA Tech Conference and just listened to one of the best presentations on leadership that I've listened to in a long time. Our speaker was Stephen B. Wiley, and I'm fortunate to have Stephen here with us right now. Stephen is with the Lincoln Leadership Institute at Gettysburg. Stephen, welcome to the broadcast.
Sure. We kind of differentiate between transactional and transformational behavior, and management consists of a lot of transactional behavior, planning and organizing and coordinating and controlling. And leadership is more the transformational behaviors, like role modeling and visioning and values and communicating. So that's basically a simple answer to that.
Yeah. Well, one of the things in your presentation, folks, you have got to listen to this presentation. There's an event coming up I'm going to tell you about in just a minute, so listen all the way to this event that we've got. He's got plans shortly. Steve's got a plan. But the thing that really grabbed me when you presented, Steve, it's not just presenting bullet points on slides. You presented stories, and it's really founded where you're based. Tell our listeners about that.
Sure. I've lived in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania since my freshman year in college, and Gettysburg is perhaps the home of perhaps one of the most important battle, or the most important battle in the history of the world, not just our country, but the world. July 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, 1863, there were 51,000 casualties and 10,000 dead horses in 3 days, a scene of horror and desolation that humanity hadn't seen in centuries and centuries and centuries. And it really was the site and the site of the greatest amount of human suffering our country has ever witnessed.
And you relate this all to leadership versus management. Talk about that.
What we talk about is the ability to lead when you have unlimited resources is not a big deal. Just throw more resources at it. The real test of a leader is if they're able to lead in a rapidly changing, stressful environment. And living in Gettysburg, I'm embarrassed to say it took me a while to realize it. I don't think we could describe a more rapidly changing, stressful, frightening environment than those 3 days. And those 3 days actually did change the world today. And so,
yeah, well, I want to go with this. I mean, we live in an industry. You just spoke to a group of mortgage bankers. Now, it doesn't even come close to what happened in Gettysburg. But for many, it's affecting and tearing up their livelihood. So in that sense, we are in one of the most dramatic, dynamic, changing environments. So your message is really resonating to many here at the industry. But you're doing more than just speaking here. You and the MBA have teamed up, and you have an event coming up. In fact, several events. Can we talk about that?
Sure. We do, David. I do keynotes, but we also have a three-day experiential leadership development experience in Gettysburg. We've done it for the majority of the Fortune 100 companies. We've had scores and scores of federal agencies, the leadership of federal agencies. We've had 75 presidential appointees and their teams come to Gettysburg as a team and learn how to more effectively lead in a rapidly changing, stressful environment. We've been doing that for a couple decades. And the MBA approached us, sponsor and do a partnership with the MBA and the Lincoln Leadership Institute. And we put two on the calendar for this year so that we could have special pricing. The MBA has scholarships for leadership development. As you and I both know, David, there's a void out there in the world.
Yes.
We couldn't describe a more rapidly changing industry than the mortgage banking.
Let's get into that meeting. If we could transform ourselves right into one of those meetings, give us a little insights, tease us a little bit with what you're going to be doing, and it's over 3 days, right?
Yes, it's over 3 days. We stay at an amazing bed and breakfast. We take over the whole 40-room bed and breakfast, and it's a series of case studies where there are four component parts. We introduce a leadership concept. We bring it alive through motion picture and actually going out and standing on the fields where those decisions were made and those strategies were implemented. And then we go back and get to work. How do we apply this to our bank? How do we apply this to our law office? How do we apply this to my life, my work, my community, my family, my place of worship? And it's a very dynamic experience, and we've actually changed the course of many companies and organizations.
Think about it, being able to stand on the battlefield, to get a sense of history, and then to relate it back to business. Talk about what can happen when good leadership shows up. What does it look like, Steve? What's the change and what's the transformation we can expect?
What we try to emphasize is that leadership really isn't about what we want and what we get and how we feel and what happens to us and how we feel about what happens to us. Leadership is all about the other side, our followers or our colleagues or our clients. We have to determine what they want and what they need and how they feel. So it's a little bit of a challenge to make that mind shift change, but once it happens, the life of the organization changes.
You've actually witnessed this take place, and you've been working with some large corporations. So let's get a little testimony, some actual live experiences where they were in one condition, you came in, and there's conditional change. What happened?
One company sent their least performing region. We went through the program, and then the following year, David, believe it or not, they were number two. Wow. And if you translate that to hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars, and their leader contributed to the experience, the starting of the experience in Gettysburg. They attribute their success to us. We've got lots of accolades from a lot of the companies. We're very, very fortunate to have that, and it's been a real rewarding experience.
You are known by ABC.
The quote from ABC is, the best speaker you've never heard of.
And you know what, folks? I've never heard of Steve, but you're going to hear from him. And more importantly, he's in partnership with the NBA. The dates for the event, which is being joint sponsored with the MBA, is May 23rd through the 25th, coming up here in just a few weeks, a week and a half or so. But it's not too late. Trust me, it's not too late, and there is room. This has been the best kept secret around. So anyway, and the other date is that we're going to have later in the year, and there's plenty of time for get registered for this, but you better get registered now, because this date, as soon as the word gets out about the first one, this one's going to book up immediately. The second event is September 12th through the 14th, 2012. And what's so exciting, there's actually scholarship money available from the MBA to attend these.
Right. The MBA has scholarships for this particular these particular events and so forth. For more information on the actual program that the MBA and Lincoln Leadership Institute are sponsoring, it's www.campusumba.org/Lincoln. Now, for information on the scholarships, it's www.mortgagebankers.org/path to diversity. And these are available for MBA members. And the Lincoln Leadership Institute can be found by going to www.lincolnleadershipinstitute.com.
Perfect. You know what?
Yeah.
So good to have you be here with us. Encourage you to get out to their website, download and listen to Steve. If that doesn't motivate you and move you to be at these one of these two events, again, let's get the dates down. May 23rd through the 25th, 2012, September 12th through the 14th. Folks, that's only 80 people are going to have the privilege to go to this. 40 in the first session, 40 in the second session. You're not going to want to miss this. It's critical. If you feel that tug, that you feel that you're called to leadership, you feel your organization is needing a transformational change, and you don't know how to go about it, be there. You're going to enjoy it. I just listened to Steve. Thank you, Steve, for being with us.
You're welcome. My privilege. Thank you.
Again, the website is Gettysburg, G-E-T-T-Y-S-Berg, B-U-R-G, leadership.com, www.gettysburgleadership.com. And when you go to the website, folks, click down where in, there's on the right-hand side, as you go about halfway or a little more than halfway down the website, you'll see it says click here to watch. It's a video that will expose you to Steve and this whole event that he and Angela have put together. Very exciting event. You want to get to know these folks, as they are doing something that I think is special, and I want to congratulate the MBA on doing a good job of bringing forth this kind of presentation at a tech conference, and hopefully we're going to hear a lot more of Steve and from Steve throughout this next year as we look and attend more and more MBA events. Thank you again, Steve, for being with us. Very encouraging. There are many great speakers here at the MBA Tech Conference, and the next speaker that I have as a guest here on the radio is Michael Frentantoni. He is a PhD, and he's an economist. He works with Jay Brinkman there at the MBA. Mike, welcome to the broadcast. Share with our listeners a little bit of what you shared here at the conference.
Thanks, David. Well, you know, the main message is that things honestly are getting better. We've had a couple of years where had to get up on stage and couldn't say that, but I think the boat's turning. It's not turning quickly. We're not seeing robust growth, but I think we've reached the point where the recovery is self-sustaining. One thing I pointed out was really the HEART program working, it looks as intended. We see very large percentage increase gains in refi activity in Florida, in Arizona, in Nevada, some of those hardest hit markets. You know, on the purchase side, we're starting to see some percentage gains in terms of new home sales, about 10% gain in new home sales year on year. That's showing up in those stronger markets. Think about your Texas, some of your plain states, some of the areas around D.C. Existing home side, we're looking for about a 5% gain year on year. A lot of that are distressed sales. So some of it depends on just, you know, where is your company, what's your footprint, are you focused refi or purchase? If you're focused in purchase in some of these stronger markets, you're seeing some gains. If you're focused in refi, you concentrate on HARP, you're seeing some good activity. There's still some weak spots, though, particularly we're seeing in Florida, Nevada, some of the interior parts, the interior markets in California.
You were talking a little bit. You had that one big slide up there that had just lots and lots of data, but there were some interesting indications. You remember the slide with all the colors? You said the green. Talk about that slide. If you could just kind of describe that slide a little bit, what that was representative, because there was some good information there.
Sure. MBA's weekly application survey has been around for 20 years, but last year we made some big enhancements where now we're able to get state-level data, and MBA members can subscribe to this. You have to be an originating member to get access to it, but you can get information on your market, your region. Areas of the country that are seeing very significant increases in refi apps over the month, over the year, increases in purchase apps. And, you know, we talk about national data so much, and, you know, it's interesting to economists, but for the folks on the ground, they want to know what's happening in their market. And really, for the first time, we have the ability to show it and really sort of to dive in at the local level.
A lot of people are saying, okay, I can get now through the MBA real specific market information, the markets that I'm in. How do they gain access to it?
Well, they're welcome to contact me directly. Otherwise, just go to mbaresearch@mortgagebankers.org. Go to the website. You'll see information there. But, yeah, any MBA member who originates loans has access to this data, and we think it's going to be really beneficial because you're going to see not just growth in volume but change in composition, what's happening with respect to loan products in your market, what's happening with respect to loan sizes. Should you tip more towards jumbo, more towards lower loan balance? This is going to give you information on where your competitors are seeing success and where you may tilt your business.
So if for someone's doing strategic planning, this could be a really an essential tool then.
I think so, absolutely, because it shows, in your market where you are today, what are the trends. Let's say you're thinking about entering a new state. You want to know what's level of activity there and what's the mix of business. What product offering should you bring there if you're going to enter that new state from where your footprint is today?
While you're here, Mike, you talked a little bit about the economy. Share with our listeners what you had to say.
One of the things I highlighted in terms of the data is a source of strength for the U.S. economy right now is consumer spending on durable goods. Durable goods means cars, it means furniture, it means dishwashers. But what we're really seeing is it's consumers buying iPhones and iPads and iPods, and that's noticeable in the aggregate data. So there's definitely a connection there to the tech world and the amount of attention that's getting consumer spending. You know, we spent a lot of attention in this conference looking at mobile technology and the potential it has to really change the way that mortgage lenders do business. So I was hoping to try to sort of bolster that with some of the data, just how much this is impacting sort of the bigger picture in the U.S. The other side of the data is just how much right now businesses are spending in sort of refreshing their IT systems that, you know, it's been really a decade since we had a major spend like this from corporate America.
Let's talk about the upcoming MBA conference in New York, the secondary conference.
Yeah, Jay Brinkman and I are going to jointly present the outlook. You know, I think this year the topic really at the front of everybody's mind, I touched on it here, is what's going on in the correspondent space.
Yeah.
Right? You've seen some of the largest lenders announce that they're exiting, but you've seen sort of that next year of lenders jump into the pool sort of ready to be buying loans on a correspondent basis from small and mid-sized firms. I think you're going to see a lot of conversations in the hallways there, a lot of conversations in the sessions directly to that topic of, you know, who are my buyers going to be now that we've had some of this turnover from the top tier to sort of the next tier of lenders. So definitely think that's going to be a lot of interest, particularly a lot of the independents out there.
As a walk away from this conference, what was you most hoping to communicate to the attendees at this conference?
MBA has been out of the tech space to some extent. We're back in, and we are fully engaged in helping the industry highlight and develop technological solutions that impact originators and servicers. We are fully engaged in supporting NISMO, which is our data standards organization. Just want to make sure that everyone is aware that, you know, we got both feet in. We want to get more support for that standards organization. You know, we've now got Fannie, Freddie, Ginny, VA behind it. FHA looks like they're likely to be supporting NISMO going forward. We have this window of opportunity here to really get data standards incorporated really throughout the industry before we get a stronger recovery. You know, speaking as an economist, that's what's exciting to me, that standards benefit everyone. It lowers costs, improves efficiency, improves quality. That's all to the good. So if I could make one request, if you're not involved in NISMO right now, you know, reach out. And, there's lots of ways you can attend a trimester meeting. You can become a subscriber. You can get involved in the nitty-gritty of developing the standards. But as these standards get more widely adopted, really important that you understand what the implications are for your business.
What's the best way to reach you?
Just drop me an email. So it's mfratantoni@mortgagebankers.org, and Fratantoni is spelled like it sounds.
Michael, thank you so much for taking a few minutes to be with us.
All right. Thank you, David.
Folks, we're going to take a quick break. We have one more interview that I recorded there at the conference. We're going to be right back after this brief break.
In today's climate, quality counts more than ever, and Wetzel Schrott can help your company maintain the quality that you require to survive in an ever-changing market. With over 450 customers across the country, Wetzel Schrott has specialized in quality control reviews for residential lenders since 1985. Wetzel Schrott can assist your organization in maintaining a high standard of quality within your residential mortgage operation. They offer a wide variety of services, including loan quality control, servicing quality control plans, fraud review services, and even web-based quality control software. Quality is never an accident. It is always the result of high intention, sincere effort, intelligent direction, and skillful execution. Choosing Wetzel Trot represents the wise choice of many alternatives. Contact Wetzel Trot today for details at 248-592-2252. Wetzel Trot, the single source solution for your quality control needs. And now, broadcasting live from Austin, Texas, we're back with the Lickin' on Lending Show.
I want you to listen carefully to the next interview. Our guest has got a unique historical perspective, but I think he really has his finger on the pulse of critical issues moving forward that will be affecting our industry, specifically as it relates to privacy issues. My next guest is Randy Schmidt, president and founder of DataVision, located in Indiana. Randy, good to have you with us. Tell us a little bit about your business.
We started DataVision back in 1993. I originally had come from a mortgage background and worked in a servicing environment and then moved into a PC origination section. But when I left there, I thought, you know, I want to get out of the mortgage industry. I'm done with it. Don't ever want to do that. So when we actually started DataVision, I started it as a web design company. This was 1993, so this was right at the beginning of the internet phase and when Netscape came out with a graphical browser. So it didn't take us long to figure out that really what we wanted to do was to move on to be an internet type of company. And what we found is, you know, several mortgage companies and banks would come to us looking to have us design their website. And slowly but surely, it kind of drew me back in and brought me back into the mortgage industry.
So you've been in the mortgage industry then for how long? When did you get in?
I started the mortgage industry in 1981, I believe.
Let's talk about a little bit about your journey.
I started with a company called DataLink Systems, which is now part of Fiserv, and it's their mortgage serve product. I started as a programmer on their servicing system. During that time, they decided they were going to start a PC-based origination system, and they were looking for some volunteers to maybe move over into that area since it was so brand new. The very first thing that we started writing an origination system on was an IBM PC with two floppies on it. And the system ran on one floppy, and the customer data actually resided on the other.
Things have certainly changed in the time you've been in the industry, Randy. Let's talk about DataVision, what their products and services are right now that you're specifically doing.
Currently, we have two products. We have one called Remote Docs, which is an electronic document delivery system, which allows lenders to get documents from their location to a closing attorney, a title company, or even to the borrower for doing closing. And we do that all via the internet. The other product we have is called Loan Quoter, and it's a electronic point-of-sale system, which, again, is what we've really done is we've expanded that into a true customer communication model to where we give you the touch point with the consumer. And so the consumer can come to your website, and it looks exactly like your corporate site, so there's no difference from the consumer point of view that they've ever left your site. But while they're there, they can, you know, research your rates, apply for a loan, check their loan status. We have a secure messaging area where the lenders and borrowers can communicate securely back and forth and not have to do it via email. We have a two-way document exchange portal. So if the lender says, hey, I need to see last year's tax return or a copy of your pay stub, the borrower can upload it securely back to the lender. And all this is done in a lender-branded portal.
What are the developments that you see for your business and where you're going, where the industry is going, generally speaking?
I think the industry is actually coming toward our model in where a lot of technology companies have always focused on the lender and what they can do to make the lender's life easier. And they really not really focus much on the consumer side. And I think where we're seeing is now with all the social media, with all the mobile platforms, with everything and the way that people can be on the internet all the time, I think there's going to be a much bigger focus on getting that consumer engaged and having that consumer, you know, have that communication with their lender.
Do you see social media really having an impact on the direction?
We are, but where we see the biggest factor is again making that customer happy, because with the social media out there, if somebody has a good experience, they're going to let their friends know. But more importantly, if they have a bad experience with you, everybody in the world is going to know about it. So you really want to make sure that you're doing as a lender everything you can to make that customer happy.
Do you see the tendency for the communications to be more in social media communications, almost like Facebook messaging system, like email, getting away from email? Do you see it being more of an internal messaging system?
I do, because I think there are a lot of inherent security issues with email, especially when you're transmitting confidential data back and forth. You really don't want to use email. And that's one of the reasons why we have our document delivery and our communication portal, is because there is so much information you just don't want to put out there in an email.
Where do you see the industry going as far as exciting developments within the industry?
I think what's happening is everything is moving now toward mobile. And not just, you know, again, we deal with the consumer, so we're always looking at the mobile. But I'm even seeing a lot of the other systems where they're making it, the technology to a lender, that the lender can access it via a mobile from an iPad. From, you know, you can sit down with, as an originator, you can sit down with a borrower in their home with your iPad and take their application.
That's creating a lot of security concerns for a lot of people. We're moving more mobile, but that creates some actual holes out there and some security concerns. How do you see the industry addressing this?
I think as long as communication in the mobile, as long as you're still talking with a secure application on the back end and you're not just doing just basic transmissions out there or storing it out for the public to see.
Randy, I appreciate so much you taking a few minutes to talk with me. I encourage you to go to their website. What is your website again, Randy?
Our website is www.d-vision.com.
D-vision.com. Randy, thanks so much for taking a moment and coming aside and talking to me. I really enjoyed my interview with Randy. What a warm individual. You meet this guy and you go, what a likable guy. And of course, there's so many of these interviews. It was just like that. I really appreciate the folks that took time out of their busy schedule there at the conference to sit down and talk with me. We've got more interviews we're going to be playing in future broadcasts, but I want to turn to Andy, Alice, and Joe right now and kind of get their thoughts on what we've just heard.
Well, actually, Alice is not here, so we've also added into the mix Tony Garitano. So, Andy, let's start with you and some feedback that you heard there. Let's start with Steve Riley, and Joe, jump in on that. Tony, start with you, Andy.
Okay, thanks, Dave. Well, what I was going to say is that, you know, when looking at a vendor, there's a lot of elements to consider, not the least of which is, what happens once the data leaves your platform? What happens once the originator pushes send or the processor clicks the mouse? And underneath all this stuff, you're ultimately going to get to a data store and you're going to get to a server farm. And that server farm has to be SSAE 16 certified and, you know, replacing the SAS 70. And so, you know, while stuff looks cool on the outside, you got to, the last guy you interviewed was talking about data security. And I think we're just touching the tip of the iceberg on the issues around
true.
Data security and how much more we're going to have to understand that. And the other quick point is that we almost need a Google search engine for websites for technology vendors, because it's expanding and there's more and there's really cool ones out there, but how do you know which one's right for you? How do you know which one? I mean, the evaluation process of picking a vendor is going to get more difficult than it's ever been. And you've got to have a resource to go.
Yeah, go ahead. You have to have a resource, yeah.
Yeah, you have to have a resource that understands the systems, understands the security risk, and understands how to put all the pieces together and bring you a recommendation from an objective perspective. Because the salespeople selling this stuff may know their system really, really well, but at the end of the day, they're not objective. So it's complicated, and it's going to get more complicated. Security is an issue, and being able to pick which system is best for you is huge. And then beyond that, applying the ROI, the whole ROI assessment has to be part of the system. This is getting more complicated.
Well, it really is, and I think, you know, for those that don't know, we have someone on our staff that does a lot of that evaluation. There's a lot of good talent out there to do that, but we do that. So I don't want to get into that right now, but just alert people, Andy, that we do have that skill set, and we can go into that both from the ROI standpoint, but also the technology standpoint. But there was you know me. I'm a relationship guy. I meet Randy Schmidt of DataVision. He is such a warm individual. I'd want to buy from him because you go, I really like the guy. And you're the kind of guy that's got your hand on my belt saying, no, he may be a nice guy. He may be the right solution, but. So it's that whole analysis that goes into it. And I was thinking of you as I was doing the interview, because I go, Randy is such a likable guy. I'd want to do business just because it's Randy. So and then there's all the bus, anyway, so Tony Garitano, good to have you on the broadcast, and you know Randy very well. What's your thoughts on the interview and what you heard there?
I think Randy is
an expert on the online point of sale and website space, Dave. I mean, he, to my knowledge, is SAS 70 and SSAE 16 certified. So I think that that is certainly important. But the good thing about Data Vision is that there has been a lot of consolidation in that space. You saw Dexma get acquired. You saw MortgageBot get acquired. Randy and Data Vision, they're one of the few independent website point of sale e-delivery people that are still out there. I think that, you know, he has been consistent in updating his product and really pushing online lending, which I think is something that the mortgage industry needs to wrap its hands around.
One thing that really impressed me. Go ahead, Andy. I know you.
I'm sorry, Dave. Let me jump in. If I could just jump in real quick, how in making a technology decision, how relevant is it that Randy's a good guy and that his company's independent? I mean, that's part of the assessment tool that needs to be applied here. Is he a great guy? He's a very knowledgeable guy, and is he independent? Is independent a good thing or a bad thing? Is being that he's a knowledgeable and important resource a good thing or a bad thing? I think the answer to him being a knowledgeable and resourceful guy is obviously that's a plus. Him being independent, is that good or bad? It sounds like we're heading down a path that is a good thing, but I could make an argument that it's not a good thing. So
well,
this is part of the analysis, an objective assessment.
I think that's the thing that you're trying to bring about is objectivity. And you know how popular you are around our firm when you start trying to be objective when I have a hell-bent attitude on going in a particular direction. And so it is this. What the dynamic that shows up here is the same thing that shows up everywhere else. And Joe, Farr, stay on the line. We got you. I get over to Stephen Riley. I want to talk about leadership. I want to get into some of the other aspects, especially about Michael's comment. But let's finish up this discussion. Tony, I share Andy's passion for the objectivity. We're not saying that independent is better or not, but I have a tendency to lean towards likable guy. He's an independent firm. I relate to that, and for me, that connects me with somebody. Thoughts, Tony?
I mean, it still is. I mean, to your point, David, it is a relationship-based business. But I think to Andy's point, we have to look under the covers as well.
Under the hood, absolutely.
I personally tend to have a leaning more towards, you know, the independent players myself because I see them as being more agile. I see them as being more equipped to move with the industry. There are a lot of bigger companies that are more, you know, financially stable that have old, antiquated technology. So, and there are also some very big, financially stable companies, you know, that have great technology too. So, I mean, it's hard to discriminate one way or the other, but I think that you also have to look at where that company can take you into the future. And are they truly prepared to move with the industry? Are they agile enough to be there with you when you need changes?
Yeah, are they so big an institution that they're going to tell you and dictate how it is? It's a great discussion. To Andy's point, you need to get someone in there to help you consider all the issues. So let's move on to the next topic. Joe Farr, before we move on to that, you want to weigh in on that?
I want to weigh in on the first one.
All right. Yeah, we're going to go there right now. I just want to make sure before we move there that we didn't on the first interview you're talking about with Stephen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
We're going to head there real fast. I just want to make sure we wrap that up. I think the thing that I want to walk away from the technology component of this thing, there's two things that we heard there. Mobility, mobility, mobility. Everything's going mobile. Everything technology-wise seems to be moving that. Michael Frantoni said that from the NBA. We heard that again from Randy's comments on that. He sees that trend. That seems to be well established, folks. So it's those things that are supporting it. Thank you so much, Tony, for jumping in and sharing some of your thoughts with it. It was great to be at your event there at the Progress in Lending, honoring the guests. And I want to have you back on again and talk more about that. Stay on the broadcast. Stay with us. But let's move on to Joe and your comments about Stephen Riley and the Lincoln and leadership and the partnership that they have with the NBA. Your thoughts, Joe?
Well, it. I've never been to Gettysburg, and it strikes me as it'd be extremely powerful to have part of what you were doing on the actual battlefield. One question I would have, though, is The arrangement through the MBA, it sounds like it'd be 80 slots for people that might all come from different places. And like he discussed with his division of the large company, might it be something that you as a manager or an owner or a president of your mortgage firm should consider taking your team to? It would, to me, it'd feel like it's far more effective having a team of people to embrace the leadership training that he has as opposed to individuals, but I may be mistaken.
Well, I think you're spot on there. I think the most effective way, and we're going to have Stephen on in a live broadcast here rather than just a recorded interview, we're going to have him on here in some weeks ahead of here, trying to get that schedule and his schedule and our schedule working out. But he does bring teams on, and I think as it relates to a company, but here's the problem. Like he said by NBC News, he's the best-kept secret around. We've got to get this secret out and expose it to as many companies as possible. I think what the NBA, and again, I applauded them on the recording, on that interview, I applaud them what they're doing. We've got to get companies to show up. I see that, Joe, as an introductory step. Go there as a leader. You experience what's going on there, and then you bring back your 25, 40 people from your own team to walk through that. A lot of people head out to Cabo. They head out to Hawaii or some other great place for their end-of-the-year, you know, celebratory type, you know, woohoo, did a great job thing. What would happen to a company if they invested that same money by going to something like this, where you're standing on a battlefield where literally 50-some thousand people died, whatever the number was, I can't remember. It's just astounding.
150.
And the 100, say what?
150.
100, the loss of life and the decisions that went into that. And you say, well, that's a battlefield of life and death. Well, you know what? When we're in the mortgage business right now, it kind of feels like a life and death struggle. So for many of us. So I was really – Joe, what's your thoughts on Michael's comments, Frantoni's comments about the economy and why they're there? Any thoughts you have on that?
Well, I think he's right on. I think that you know, it's ever changing, right? And as that conference was going on, we were experiencing a good number of economic events coming out that were beating expectations. Then we raised our expectations, and the events began to fall short of expectations. And so now there's a little downside to it. So the nice thing about all the numbers is that they're positive numbers generally. The rate of growth may not be as rapid as they were the first few months of the year, but they are growth. And yeah. So, you know, it's still that we're moving in the right direction. We're far better off than many places, which is why we're seeing an influx of investment dollars coming to the U.S., whether it be to buy U.S. mortgage-backed securities or treasuries or buy into our stock market.
Well, I'm sitting here looking at the clock and got 2 minutes to go here for the broadcast. Tony, any parting thoughts, a couple comments did you have that are on the tip of your tongue that you want to share with our listeners?
I agree with your speaker when he talked about the influence of mobile, Dave. One of the things that I noticed at the tech show and in some of the meetings that I had at that show was that three or four of the LOS vendors are all talking about mobile. There was a new entrant into the POS market that has started a mobile app for point of sale, and I think that's a really big opportunity.
Yeah, I think there's no question that those are some things that are some trend lines that are well established. We can anticipate it going that direction. Andy Schell, Profit Doctor, your parting comments of wisdom for our audience?
Well, I like the Gettysburg thing, and I think part of the element about Gettysburg is being able to make quick decisions and decisive in decisions based on information that you have available, and then being able to understand the dynamics of the reality and change your paradigm, even if it means going against what some of the basic tools say. So
yeah.
That's part of the really cool element about all this is it's not always the way it has been. Sometimes it can change, and when it does change, you have to accept the dynamic and make your decisions based on the new information.
I love it, guys. Good broadcast. Thank you so much, Alice. Have a great vacation out there in California if you're listening to the broadcast, and we appreciate you all being a part of it, telling others about it. Folks, go on to the websites we talked about, www.campusmba.org/Lincoln. It'll get you to the information about that. Thanks to all of our guests that were agreed to walk up to me and be a part of the broadcast and let me stick a microphone in their face. Appreciate you all. And for those of you that I interviewed that we haven't gotten to, stay tuned. We're going to have you on future broadcasts. Great to have you with us. Have a great week, everyone, and we'll look forward to talking to you next week.
This has been Lickin on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. Today's guests were Joe Farr from MBS Quoteline, Andy Schell of Mortgage Banking Solutions, and Alice Alvey, President CMB of Mortgage U. Come by next week and thank you for listening.